We're doing the Rif and Megillah. We're up to the second chapter. And now this chapter is going to focus on how we read the Megillah. We know we have a mitzvah to read the Megillah on Purim. So we begin with the Mishnah. Hakoreit haMegillah leMafreya. If someone read the Megillah out of order, Achashverosh bimei vayhi, instead of vayhi bimei Achashverosh, lo yatzai, has not fulfilled his obligation. Kal peh, if he read it by heart. Kal Targum, if he read it translated, bechol hashon, in any language, lo yatza, he has not fulfilled his obligation. Aval kohi notale lo azot pelaz, but we read it to foreigners in their foreign language. Valoez sheshama shurit yatza, and a foreigner who heard it in Hebrew has fulfilled his obligation. So what does that mean? On the one hand, you say if you read the translation, we read it to foreigners. Loez is someone who's a foreigner. Bilaz in his foreign language.
Do we?
Yeah, also, the Mishnah says we do. Today we don't, because we don't know how to translate well. But they did. Do we don't know what Achshdar Penaim B'nei Aramachim means.
It's a Nochl, or it's like a Jew?
No, it's a Jew who's a Frenchman, or Hungarian, and he hasn't yet learned Hebrew.
And this does not contradict the statement that one who hears it with the Targum?
It does. It's an excellent question. The Mishnah seems to have contradicted itself. We just said, if you read it translated, you're not Yotzei. Excellent. Okay. So we're awake tonight. Excellent. Tells us the Gemara, says the Reif, Akoretam Gilal Mefreya Lo Yatzav, you read it out of order, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Tana, Nechin Ba'alel. The same thing goes for Halel. If you read Halel out of order, you're not Yotzei.
That's Tana?
Tana, like without the Aleph, Tana. We have a Tanai quote, we have a Braisa that says like this. V'chein ba'alel, so too with Halel. V'chein b'kriyat Shema. V'chein b'tfilah. Same thing with reading Shema, same thing with prayer. Tfilah min Allah. And how do you know if you daven out of order, you're not Yotzei
de Tanya? What does it mean, davening tfilah out of order?
It means you say first, Baruch Hashem, you say Avos. And then you say Modim. And then you say Atachon l'adam das. Now really, each blessing is its own entity. So this concept that you say, if you say it out of order, you're not Yotze, is a big chidush. So the Gemara says, how do you know that?
How do we know that it means saying the brachot out of order, not the words out of
order? Excellent question. We will know that from the continuation of the Rif. The continuation, your question is 100% on the mark, because with regard to Kriyat Shema, the Gemara actually asked that question. How out of order? What about if I say the Parshiot out of order? Machlokas, Shulchan Aruch, and Gra. If I say the Parshiot out of order, am I Yotze or not? Machloket Rishonim. How far out of order is Pasul? So now, over here, the Tanya, we have a Braisa that says like this, Shimon Apekuli. Shimon, who used to sell wool. His deal, 18 b'chot ibn Rabban Yamliel ala seder b'yavne. He organized the 18 blessings before Rabban Yamliel, in the proper order, in the city of Yavne. Omer Rav Yitzchak v'itemer Rav Chia bar Abba, v'amila manita tana. Either Rav Yitzchak said, or Rav Chia bar Abba said, and some say it was in a braisa. Me'veslim zkenim u'mem kama nevihim. There were 120 sages. Amongst them, there were some prophets. Tiknu yutchet v'chot ala seder. They instituted the 18 blessings in their proper order. And I guess they forgot it. And Shimon Apkuli reorganized it. Tradition got worn down, a few hundred years passed, and then they reinstituted it after the second Beit HaMikdash, before Rabban Gamliel, in Yavne. In the beginning of the second Beit HaMikdash, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, these 120 men, the men of the Great Assembly, they instituted the 18 blessings in order, and then they were reinstituted by Rabban Gamliel when Shimon Apkuli arranged it before him in Yavne after the second temple. Megillah min alan. How do we know that if the Megillah is read out of order, you're not Yotzei? Dichtiv, because the verse says, Vayamim ha'ele, these days, the 14th and 15th of Adar, the 2 days of Purim, nizkarim, they are commemorated, v'na'asim, and are performed. Ma'asi al mafreya lo, just like you can't perform the days out of order, the 14th will always precede the 15th. That's a natural fact in our world down here. Av schira al mafreya lo, by the same token, the commemoration cannot be done out of order. The Megillah must be read in its correct order. Tells us the Gemara, Halel min alan. How do you know the Halel cannot be read out of order? Amar Rava. Nope. Amarava de Amalka Mizrach Shemesh and Mevo Mulad Shemashim. The pasuk says, from sunrise to sunset, God's name is praised. Hashem Shiv Shali Zoach Hashem Shlemefra. Min Amarav LaMizrach. Just like the sun doesn't rise and travel backwards, the sun is never going to rise in the west and set in the east. So too, we never read the halal out of order. The halal is compared to sunrise to sunset. Sunrise, sunset. Sunrise to sunset is always from east to west, right? It never goes out of order. By the same token, halal can never be read out of order. How do we know that Shema may not be read out of order? Because the pasuk says, these words of Shema should be on your heart. You say them in the morning and at night. So vehayu, and they shall be in their regular state, that you should not read them out of order. Now this needs a lot of work, because really the three parshiot of Shema, in essence, are three separate parshiot. It says Shema and Hanan, Vayom Shemoa in Ekev, and Vayomer in Shlach, three different places in the Torah. So it would seem that you'd need a drasha for each parsha that it cannot be said out of order. Each parsha is its own entity. And who says you have to say the parshios in this specific order? The Mishnah even questions, why did Chazal institute this order? From the Torah you don't know which order. The Torah just tells you, say the parsha of Shema in morning and night. Then the Torah tells you, say the parsha of Vayom Shema morning and night. What? So the Mishnah explains why Chazal instituted it this way. But if I get the parshiot out of order, was Ayotze or not? Machloket Shulchan Aruch Gra. Which might even be a machloket the name. Vehayu Shehem Yiyu. Bahavayatam. Batsura Shehem Hovim Yiyu. Vehayu Chazal Dorshim. Bekol Hashas. Shakavana hi em Yiyu Kasher Hem. Al Tishane et HaSeder.
כן. לא שמעתי איזה בעקב ואיזה בשלח?
בעקב זה והיה עם שמוע, בשלח זה ויומר, ושמע זה בבית חנן. אבל קוראים אותה ללא הזאת בלעז. You read it to the foreigner in a foreign language. והוא שכתובה בלעז, provided that it's written in that foreign language. Meaning you have to have the Megillah written in French. You can't have a Megillah written in Hebrew and you'll translate it for him. V'hushik tuva belaz, provided that's written in that foreign language. V'tanya giftit le'giftim, ivrit le'ivrim, yevanit le'ivanim. You read each person in his language. A person who comes from Gefet, you read it to him in giftit. A person who comes from Ivri, Hebrew, you read it to him in ivrit. A person that comes from Yovan, from Greece, you read it to him in Yevanit. V'aloez sheshama ashurit yetza. And a foreigner who heard it in our language is Yotze. So you're going to question, isn't our language Ivrit? Excellent question, Mayor. Our language is called Ashurit. Ashurit is not exactly Ivrit. So what the difference is, that deserves going into... The Megillah is written in Ashurit. Ivrit is the language that Abraham spoke, probably Aramaic, the language of Ever HaNahar, the other side of the Euphrates River, which was probably Aramaic. So Ivrit means the language of Ever HaNahar. From Assyria, we came back from the exile, the Assyrian exile, we came back with Ashurit, which is its own discussion. Abraham spoke Aramaic. Abraham came from Babel. Iraq.
Could they speak the same language in Iraq and Syria?
They could.
Did they?
Good question. Machlokes Rishonim.
The language that he spoke when he came back from Babel is the same language that Abraham spoke or not?
Good question. I don't know.
So what is Ivrit?
So over here, Ivrit means that language which they speak on the other side of the Euphrates River. That's probably Aramaic. And Ashurit is what we call Hebrew. That's its own concept. We don't have time for it tonight. The evolvement of the Hebrew and the Hebrew script, even the writing in our Sefer Torah. That's not for tonight. V'aloiz sheshama shurit, there's a whole sefer on it. Rav Menachem Kasher wrote a whole sefer on it. V'aloiz sheshama shurit yatza, a foreigner who hears it the way the Megillah, the way we know it, he was yotze. V'aloiz sheshama shurit yatza, ve'av agav delo yada ma'ikam re yatza. Even though he doesn't know what they're talking about, he comes to shul and it's all gibberish to him. But he's still yotze. Mi dide ave anashim ha-me'aretz, just like the women folk who didn't speak Hebrew, and the ha-me'aretz, the regular plain folk who were illiterate, then they didn't speak Hebrew either. Delo yadimai kamre, they don't know what they're saying. Dafilu achin afki dechovatayu, and nonetheless, they are yotze. They fulfill their obligation. Da'ika mitzvat kriyau pilsumin nisa, because they fulfilled the obligation to have the Megillah read, and the miracle is publicized. So they don't know what they're hearing. But they ask people, what did we just read? So they say, we read the beautiful story of Esther. You know the story of Esther? So the guy says, well, remind me. So they tell him the whole story. Say, after Sumei Nisa. So you see, in ancient times, all shuls were Machon Meir. All shuls were like Machon Meir. They had a bunch of people who come in and don't know what you're reading, and they ask the guy next to him, and he tells them what it's all about. And you see that this was common practice in shuls. That's why we can assume that they fulfill their obligation when they come to shul and hear the Megillah. Because we see that in the hearing of the Megillah, there are two mitzvot that have to happen. One is hearing the reading, and two is pilsumei nisa. So we might say, well, maybe we should have a song after the Megillah, Shoshanas Yaakov, some kind of song that tells us about the miracle for the common folk. No, Chazal didn't see a need to institute that. Chazal assumed that if you're standing in shul and there's a guy next to you who doesn't understand, so you'll explain to him what it's all about. Oh, tells us the Mishnah. Kras Serugin. If he read it Serugin, and the Gemara is going to explain what Serugin is, Umit Namnem, or as he was dozing, Yatsa, he's fulfilled his obligation. If he was writing a Megillah, or he was fixing a Megillah, mitnamnem is dozing. You know those people? Oh, yeah. So let's say he was writing a Megillah, or he was editing a Megillah, or he was giving a speech on the Megillah. He reads two words and he speaks an hour. He reads another two words and speaks another 10 minutes. So he's giving a long speech on the Megillah. Im kiven libo, if he had in mind to fulfill his obligation in that reading of the Megillah, Yatza, he's fulfilled his obligation. Ve'im lav, and if he did not have in mind, lo Yatza, he has not fulfilled his obligation. Mai Serugin, what does the word Serugin mean? And here there's a beautiful Gemara, which we're not reading. The Rif doesn't bother quoting it. Says the Rif, bottom line, piske, piske. He reads part meal, right? A little bit, a little bit. Kigon, shekore me'at, for example, he reads a little bit. Vishohe, and he waits, he pauses. Vichozer v'koeh ma'at, and then he goes back and reads a little bit more. Vishohe, and then he waits some more. Ad shekoeh kula, till at the end of the day he reads it all. Yatza, he's fulfilled his obligation. It's not the ideal way of doing it, but you're yotze.
Can he be a superintendent?
Good question. So here the Gemara does not discuss that. Lechatchila, you're not even supposed to read it this way. Tan Rabbanan. Kira'a serugin yatza, serusin lo yatza. But if he read it serusin, then he has not fulfilled his obligation. Serusin is out of order. Meaning he reads a section, then he goes back and reads another section. Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud says like this. Serugin, what does that mean? Kituin, cut up. He reads, pauses for a while, reads some more, pauses again. Serusin, what does serusin mean? Kari chada upara chada. Perush, what does that mean? Kore echad umeniach echad. He reads one and skips one. Lets one go. Kigon, shekore pasuk echad. For example, he reads the first pasuk. And then he skips the second pasuk. Umdalega sheni. And he vekore pasuk shlishi, he goes on to the third pasuk. Vishnat shalosh lemolcho, asam ishtel, lechot zorah v'avadah, he skips the second pasuk. V'chozer v'koeh pasuk ha-sheni, and then he goes back and rereads the second pasuk which he skipped, shedileg, that pasuk which he skipped. HaKorei ki HaGavna, one reads like that, lo yatsa has not fulfilled his obligation. That's called reading it out of order. You're right. He's quoting the Jerusalem Talmud. Rav Mona omer mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Mona quotes Rabbi Yehuda af b'seirugin. Even when he reads and pauses and reads and pauses, he's reading in order. There's just a gap of silence between sections. Im shakadei legmot kula, if he paused long enough to complete the whole Megillah, chozer l'rosh, he goes back to the beginning. Umaskinan, and we conclude, dileti ilchata ki Rabbi Mona, the halacha is not like Rabbi Mona, ela afilu shakadei legmot kula, even if he paused long enough to complete the whole Megillah, Yatza, he has fulfilled his obligation. V'gaveit kiot nami amrinan, and when it comes to blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we also say, and that's the root of this halacha, Amar Rabbi Yochanan taught, Shama teshat kiot b'teshat shot b'yom, if you heard 9 blasts of shofar, which is the minimum you have to hear midoraisa, but you heard 1 blast, and then you waited an hour, and you heard a second blast, and then you waited another hour, and then you heard the thirds, so then Yatzai fulfilled his obligation. Vetanya Kavatein, the Gemara brings a brisa like Rabbi Yochanan. So from here we derive that a pause, a gap of silence, is not a hefsek. Tanu Rabbanan. So this is halacha in many areas. Tanu Rabbanan Nishmit Basofer Otiyot Opsukin VeKorean HaKore Kim Tugeman HaMtugin. Let's say the sofer left out some letters, or he left out a whole psukim. So the guy's reading the Megillah, and suddenly he sees there's a missing pasuk. So he fills it in by heart, like a person who's translating. Yatzai has fulfilled his obligation. Perush, sham tagem mosif varim. When a person is translating, he has to add to the words of the speaker, kedei levarer ta'amo shel pasuk, to explain what the pasuk means. Venimtza koreh otam advarim al peh. It turns out that the guy who's translating is saying those things by heart. So to this one who's reading the Megillah, in kara pasuk otiyot al peh, if he reads a pasuk or certain letters by heart, yatzai is fulfilled his obligation. So we ask a contradiction. The Tanya for the brisa says that you both. If he's mistaken, so he's not yotzei. No, you have to read the right thing. You can't read the wrong thing. So we ask on that, a contradiction. Ditanya, for it says in the Braisa, Hayubot yot metushtashot o mikurot. If there were letters in the Megillah that were worn or torn, im rishuman nikar ksheira, if you could tell what's supposed to be written there, if you could tell what the letters are supposed to be, then it's kosher. Vim lavin, if you can't tell, psula, disqualified. Upar kinan. No. So over here you see, well, I don't know actually. Over here you see that the Megillah is puzzle if some of the letters are worn thin. And a minute ago we said, if you read it by heart, you're yotzei. So then obviously the Megillah is kosher. Upakinan, so we answer, lo kasha. Habe kula, habe miktata. That's not a question. When all of the Megillah is written that way, so then if you can't read it, it's puzzle. When only part of the Megillah is written in an improper fashion, then even if you can't read it, you read it by heart, that's okay.
So if there's one letter torn from the
Sure.